Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Irvin Daf Chof Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief, formative introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 8 lines from the top of Daf Chof Tes. On the side of our Gemara, we have a note that we call the Tat Nosei, a subtopic, Eruv Betapuchim, the establishing of an Eruv as if an Eruv necessitates providing food. Here we'll talk about using tapuchim, which are often translated as apples, as the food for the Eruv. And we have mentioned in the past that the Eruv is established by mozon shtei seudos, the amount of food that constitutes two meals. Depending on the food item, so the quantity changes. The Gemara, 8 lines from the top. Omar Rava, Hareini kebenazai b'shuki teveria. Rava uses an expression here, and he says that he feels a very clear and sound mind and able to answer any questions that would be directed toward him. And in order to convey that idea, he says, I feel like Ben Azai, who was known to be one of the most prominent scholars of his time, who was able to answer any question. So Rava says, I feel like Ben Azai in the markets of Tveria, where Ben Azai used to live. Of course, Rava was not in Tveria, Rava was in Bovel. Amar lehu merabon on the Rava. So someone took Rava up on his offer and asked Rava a question. Tapuchim bekamo. Now, this double underline is a continuation of a marking scheme that we started on the previous daf, where we double underline at any point that the Gemara introduces a food item and raises the question of how much, what's the quantity for an Eruv. You'll notice that we have a bracketed section, and there's a bracket length indicator. You see the vertical dash dotted line. After this bracketed section, the Gemara said, repeats the question, v'kamo, how much as far as the quantity of tapuchim for establishing an Eruv. Omar Rav Nachman, tapuchim bekav. So Rav Nachman answers, you need a kav, that's a specific measure, a type, that's a measure of, in this case a measure of apples, that would be necessary for an Eruv. Now, in the bracketed section, we have a note indicating why the brackets are here. So we look at the starred comment on the side of the Gemara. B'sograyim yesh biur im yesh bichlal la'arev b'tapuchim. Within the brackets, the question will be raised, are apples actually something that you can use in the first place for an Eruv? U'besof muchoch te'efshu la'arev b'henin. At the end of the discussion, it will come out that you can make an Eruv using apples. And our note indicates nitan lidaleg al haketa besograim. You can skip the bracketed section as we did. Kedei lagia miad latshuva, to get immediately to the question of how much by way of the apples. So now that we know the structure, let's go into the bracketed section. Omar le Rava, after hearing the question from the Hahum Rabbonon, Rava says v'chi marvin betapuchin. Is it possible to make an Eruv using tapuchim? Now, we've dashed underline this because we want to focus on Rava's comment. Rava, by saying that, is suggesting that you don't make an Eruv with tapuchim. So here, the Gemara rejects that sentiment. And that's why we see a dalet encircled and the long marking to indicate a dechiyah. In other words, we are in the upcoming lines, till the end of the brackets, we are in effect deflecting Rava's his skeptic approach to the use of apples. So the Gemara says, below, what do you mean, can you make an eruv of apples? Of course you can. V'atanan, we have a source. It says, kol oichlin mitstarfin livsola segvia b'chatzi pras. All food items join together, different types of food items can join together to form a quantity known as a half a pras. Since this isn't the focus of our discussion, so we're not going to get into details, just it's a known quantity. So all foods can join together, and if the food happens to be tameh, lifsolas agvia means to render a person unfit for eating truma. Gvia is literally is to passel the body, but that means to passel the person that eats the tameh food. How much? A chatzi pras of food. How much food? Or what kind of food? Well, all kinds of foods can join together to create that quantity, and if it's tameh, it will make the person unfit for eating truma. Uve mozon shte sudos le'eruv. All ochin is mitstaref, will join together to create the quantity of two meals worth of food for an eruv. And ukebetza l'tamei tumas ochlin. And all kinds of food items can join together to form an egg quantity of food that in the event it becomes tamei, it can metama other food items. So there are three halachas in this source dealing with tziruf, the joining together of food to create the necessary shear. For psul gvia chatzi pras, for eruv mozon shtei sudos, and for tumas ochlin, an egg quantity, kebetza. So the Gemara asks, v'hai mai tufta, how does this source show anything against Rava? The Gemara will go through two stages, and that's why we have this underlined and called it Aleph, e lema, and then later Ela. E lema, mishum dekotani kol ho'echlin, because it says in this source, all food items, as a, some kind of type of a general rule, all food, and it mentions in this source to join to make an eruv. And when we say all food, that would include apples. So that we would see here apples are used for making an eruv, and that's against Rava. V'hani b'nei achila ninu, hani apples are edible. It's food. Yet, that's not a challenge to Rava. V'ha'omar Rabbi Yochanan ein lemeida min ha'klolos v'afilu b'mokam shenema boichutz. One is not to learn from sources that state rules. So it could be that really you don't use apples for making an eruv, and therefore there is nothing in this source that would repudiate Rava. So what in this source repudiates Rava? Elo mishum dekotani, because it says in this source, it talks about an eruv and also talks about tumas oichlin. So this source compares tumas oichlin to eruv. Uvemozon, it says in the source, uvemozon shte sudos li eruv, ukebeitzo letame tumas ochlin. That's the source we just read. And we dashed underline eruv and tumas ochlin. They are compared. Vehani nami, apples, are b'nei tume tumas ochlin inu. They are subject to tumas ochlin. Being that the apples are subject to food-related tuma, that means apples are also related to the creation of an eruv. And that's against Rava. And the question is restated, v'kama, well, how many apples? Omer of Nachman, tapuchin v'kav. A kav of tapuchin is necessary for an eruv. Gemara now has a question. This question lasts a few lines. We're going to get to the gist of the question. Is, in this source, it's true apples are not mentioned, but it mentions afarsikin, another type of fruit. In modern Hebrew, an afarsik is a peach, but we don't commit ourselves to that is the actual translation of the source. But it mentions in this source, which, by the way, is not related to Eruvin, but later a comment that's made in the name of Rav will tie it into Eruvin. And since this source mentions five afarsikin, it would stand to reason that five apples should be enough, and not a kav. That's the question. So let's read the question in the Gemara, and then we'll get back to some structural concerns to help in understanding the Hemshech, the continuation of Gemara afterwards. So Rav Nachman answered in the meantime that the quantity for an Eruv of Tapuchin is a Kav. Mesvei, we raise a question, and we note here, we wrote between the lines, this is a Braisa. In Gemara markings, we generally don't differentiate between Mishnayos and Braisas. We call them Tanaic sources. On rare occasion, there is benefit in making the distinction. This will become obvious as we go on in the Gemara. So, for the time being, note that this is a Braisa, and it's a Braisa concerning Miser Oni, the tithe that one gives to the poor in the third and sixth year of the sabbatical cycle, the seven-year agricultural cycle. It says in this source, Reb Shimon Elazar Omer, what is the minimum quantity that one gives to a poor person, assuming that the farmer has a lot of produce and aniyim come? What is the minimum amount to give in the event that you have a lot of produce? So there are different food items mentioned here: uchla, tavlin, litra, yerek, asora, egozim. The points in this source are not relevant to our discussion. We've dashed, underlined only that which is directly relevant to us. But being that we're reading it, it says an uchla is an eighth of a litra. It's a very small amount of tavlin, spice. Litra is another, it's a measure, and that's of the amount of yerek, of vegetables. V'asora, it goes in 10 nuts, that's the minimum you would give to a poor man as part of his miser oni. And here we dashed underline, this is what we focus on, v'chamisha aparsekin, u'shnei rimoinim v'esrog echad. If you're giving him rimonim, then give him two. And if an esrog, you give him one. The Omar Gursak Bar Dori, Mishmei Derav Menashe Bar Segovli, Mishmei Derav. A lot of names here, and they are important in the Gemara as it unfolds. In the meantime, the following was said in the name of Rav, V'chein Li'eruv. In other words, what we just learned in this Braisa concerning Maiser Ani, the same amounts apply to making an Eruv. Rashi points out across from here, V'chein Li'eruv, the chelik oni, begorin nami mozon shtei sudos, hi kidomar l'kamon. The amount we give to the poor man is the amount that constitutes two meals worth of whatever. Two meals worth. So the shiurim for maaser oni are relevant to an eruv. The hani nami, the Gemara goes on, hani nami means apples, the tapuchim, lehevu ki afarsakin, let them be no different than afarsakin, and it should suffice to have five apples, and not a kav. A kav is a larger measure than five apples. And that would be a kasha on Rav Nachman. The Gemara answers that no kasha, there's no problem. Hani chashivi, vahani lo chashivi. Afarsakin are of significance, they're important, and therefore five of them would be enough to give as Maiser Oni, and that is enough to constitute a Mozon Shtei Sudos when dealing with Afarsakin. Apples are not Choshuv, so you need more of them. Rashi explains, Chashivi, V'amrinu L'kamon, we say later on, Koshu Lifton, anything that is a Lifton is a relish or something eaten together with something else. So anything that's a lifton, we say kidei lechol boi, two meals of lifton that you would eat together with bread, let's say. Al molav mamish sudos tevikus sudos mehu mina boinon. When we speak about two meals worth, we don't mean when you are dealing with something that's categorized as a lifton, we don't mean two meals of that item alone, that your entire meal is made up of that. If you want to use an extreme example, it's not that you're making an entire meal out of a bottle of ketchup, but rather it's the amount of ketchup that you would eat in the course of two meals. Elo kol midi Lefum chashivuse. Every item is according to the significance. Im lifton sha'odom rogil lelafis bozapas, shiro kede lelafis bozapas, lishte sudos. Vim dova harogil lovo bekinuach sudohu, shiro bechte sha'odom rogil lovi kinuach lishte sudos. If it's something you eat together with bread, it's the amount of whatever the item is that you would eat in the course of two meals together with bread. Or if it's a dessert item, it's the amount of that food that you would eat as part of the dessert of two meals. So, as a result of that, we understand that the amount will change. So, if it's a farsikin, which is choshev, so you will eat less of it in the course over two meals. If it's tapuchin, which is not as choshev, you will end up eating more of it. So that you can't conclude from the shiur of a farsikin to the shiur to the quantity of apples. Before we go further in the Gemara, we must now introduce the structure that we are about to encounter. We've seen so far a diamond, which we didn't explain, a diamond with a surrounding Rav's name, and on the side of the Gemara under the Mivneh, Divrei Rav, Sha'omar V'chein Le'eruv, we saw that was what Rav was quoted as saying, and likewise with regard to Eruv, these words, Nemru O Abraiso O Amishnah, they were said as a follow-up to either a brisa, as we saw already, or as a follow-up to a mishnah that we haven't seen yet. Hagemar tishal mai ulme dehai mehach. The Gemara later on will ask, what difference does it make whether Rav said his v'chein le'eruv comment as a follow-up to the brisa that we saw, or as the follow-up to a mishnah that we haven't seen yet? So the Gemara, as we said, will ask, what difference does it make? We now continue in the Gemara. Omar Rav Yosef. Now, by the way, in Gemara markings, we pay a great amount of attention to detail. That trying to say that every marking has some significance. Sometimes the significance is a little bit abstract. It's sometimes even hard to articulate why it's there, but there is a significance. In this case, note we have a semicolon. That's because the basic discussion of the amount of aptapuchin for an eruv, we've finished that particular discussion. However, we're continuing in relating to the v'chein le'eruv comment that was made by Rav. Therefore, we don't want to have a full stop, which would lead someone to think that that which follows is a new idea. So a totally new idea. So we use the semicolon that it is a new idea, but it's also a continuation. We also have a long point that appears, and note how long it actually is. The nun that we say is the long point marking nun means a nekuda, a point. Omar Rav Yosef, Shora le More l'Rav Menashe bar Segovli. More is the master. It could be like heaven should have mercy on Rav Menashe bar Segovli. Now we saw his name just two lines up, and that's why we dashed underlined it so you could refer back to it. Heaven should forgive him. Ano amriso nihalei amasnisin. I taught him the v'chein l'rav, the v'chein l'eruv quote from Rav. I taught it to Rav Menashe, but I taught v'chein l'eruv on the heels of a mishnah. The who omro abraiso, and Rav Menashe turned around and taught Gursik Bardori, we saw him on the first wide line. He quoted Rav Menashe. In other words, Gursik got the information in the name of Rav of Achein Le'eruv. Gursik got it from Rav Menashe. But Gursik said that in the name of Rav Menashe, the comment of Achein Le'eruv on the heels of a brisa. Rav Yosef, who is kind of like the origin to all of this, he says, how could Rav Menashe do that when I taught him the V'chein Li'eruv comment of Rav. I taught him that on the heels of a Mishnah. Desnan. And now here is the Mishnah. This Mishnah also deals with the topic of Meiser Oni. Desnan. Ein pochasil Oni begor mechatzi kav chitin. And there are a number of quantities here, and we don't have to emphasize, the details are not that important for right now. We'll get back to some of them later, but we have to see how following this Tanaic source, which is a Mishnah, and that's why we mentioned earlier, we have to make a distinction. This is a Mishnah, and prior to this, there was a Brisa that was quoted. And notice, after this Mishnah, the diamond appears, where Rav says, V'chein li Eruv. So Rav's V'chein li Eruv comment, connecting Eruv to Dinim, I'll say, of Meiser Oni, is a comment that was made on the heels of this Mishnah and not on the heels of the Brisa before. This is Rav Yosef's point. As we said later, the Gemara will ask, well, what difference does it all make? So what does the Mishnah about Meiser Oni say? It says, Ein pochas in l'oni, do not give less to an oni, begorin, when he comes to the granary, mechatzi kav chitin, v'kav saorin, Rabbi Meir Omer, chatzi kav saorin. V'kav v'chetzi kusmin. If what you are giving out, that you're distributing, is kusmin, so it should be a kav and a half of kusmin. V'kav grogros. Omona devela. These are all different amounts. The kav is a measure, and a mona devela is a weight of devela. Devela are the grogros after they're pressed into a cake. Cake of pressed figs. Rabbi Akiva Omer, pras means a half a mona. V'chatzi lug yayin, Rabbi Akiva Omer, revius, a half a lug or a quarter of a lug. Rabbi Rias, revius shemen. Rabbi Akiva Omer, shminis, an eighth of a lug of shemen is what you would give to the oni as his meiser oni tithe. Ushar kol aperos, omar abba shol, kadesh yimkurim, yikach bohen mozon, shtei sudas, any other kinds of fruits, you'd have to give to him the amount that he could then take, the oni could take, sell them, and have money enough to buy two meals worth of food. The omar rav v'chein li'eruv. And Rav says, the quantities we see in this source apply equally to the amount required for making an eruv. The Gemara asks, umay umay dahai mehach. Ume means stronger or of greater significance. In other words, we saw that Rav Yosef, he got upset over here. He got upset that Rav Menashe Bar Segovli taught over information in a way different than the way he, Rav Yosef, taught Rav Menashe Bar Segovli himself. So our question right now is, okay, so let's say that Rav Menashe Bar Segovli taught the V'chein Li'eruv comment on the Brisa. Why does that get Rav Yosef upset? And that's the question of my Ume Dehai Mahach. What's stronger about this, with attaching Rav's, the diamonded comment of the V'chein Li'eruv, onto this Mishnah source, as opposed to having done what Gursik claimed, attaching Rav to the Brisa before? So what's the problem? And here we go through a couple of stages in trying to figure out the problem. And that's why we have this trapezoid volcano shape marking of E Lemo, and two lines later, Ella. So if you say E Lemo Mishum Dekot Toni Bahach Tavlin, because it says in the Brisa, it spoke about Tavlin, and if there's any question about where that is, you can just look at the little star that you see to the right-hand side of the Gemara text, and you see the what we call the double star marking. Look at that, and parallel the double star that you see here above. And in the Brisa it mentioned tavlin, or spices. So is what's bothering Rav Yosef in that in the Brisa above, it spoke about spices. The tavlin, lav, b'nei, achila, ninu. And spices are something you don't eat. You don't eat a spoonful of spices. And as a result of that, how in the world could it possibly be used as an Eruv when you know that an Eruv is food that is placed down. So is that what is bothering Rav Yosef about the Braisa above? And not the Braisa per se, but attaching Rav's comment of Achein Li'eruv to that Braisa. Well, Otu Hocha Milo Kotoni Fitinu Sorin V'Lav Bnei Achiloninu, in this Mishnah that Rav Yosef was so accepting of, it teaches the amount of wheat or barley you give to a poor man, and people don't eat eat wheat or barley as is. It's not something you eat as is. It's something you grind down, you make into, process into flour, and eventually bake things out of it, but you don't eat it as it is. So what is the advantage, so to speak, of having the V'chein Li'eruv comment of Rav attached to the Mishnah more so than the Braisa before? Elo Mishum Dekotoni, the significance of having taught the V'chein Li'eruv comment of Rav on this Mishnah is because in the source it mentions the quantity of an Eruv that is made of wine. Because it says, Mishum Dekotoni, Chatzi Lug Yayin. The Omar Rav, and we know Rav to have said, Ma'arvin b'shtei revios shel yayin. Rav said that the quantity for an Eruv of wine, let's go over, hopefully we didn't make a mistake, but just the line before we said, El Mishum Dekotoni, in the Mishnah dealing with Maisur Oni, we want to emphasize that the Mishnah spoke about Maisur Oni. It said Chatzi Lug Yayin, and Rav said that the shear of Eruv is in fact two quarters or a Chatzi Lug of wine. Shma Mino Ki Omar Rav V'chein Li Eruv, it therefore follows that when Rav said, and thusly, meaning just like by Maisur Oni, so too with regard to Eruv, and we know that Rav said Eruv of wine is a Chatzi Lug or two quarters of a Lug. So Ahom Asnisen Kamar, he must have said V'chein Li Eruv on this Mishnah, because this Mishnah had in it the source of wine quantity for Maisur Oni, and Rav extended that to Eruv. The Braisa before didn't make any mention of wine quantity, and when we know that Rav spoke Beferush explicitly about a shiur of wine for an Eruv. Omar Mar. So now we quote which we saw before. We have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the arrow above, and you'll see where this quote is from. It says, we said, Ovomazon shtei sudos li'eruv. This, of course, was from the source that spoke about all kinds of ochlin ar mitzaref, to form shtei sudos for Eruv. Sovar, Rav Yosef the Maimon. Now we dashed underline the Sovar, trying to draw your attention to this word. This word, almost all the time that appears in Shas, indicates something that is suggested but rejected. So Rav Yosef thought to say, Sovar Rav Yosef the Maimon, Adi Iko Su'udo Mehai U Su'udo Mehai. That when the source spoke about Tziruf of Oichlin, it means that you would have to have, of different kinds of foods, you're allowed to have up till two kinds of foods, which in effect means one meal's worth of one kind of food and one meal's worth of another kind of food, and that would be acceptable. But as far as the different food items, you couldn't have less than a full meal of one of those food items. If we look in the Rashi, on the wide lines under the Gemara, at the beginning of the fourth wide line of Rashi, he says, "Usuuda mehai shnei oichlin mitstarfin le'eruv." Two kinds of foods can mitzarif, can join together to form the Eruv. Aval shloisha ve'arbo, but three or four different kinds of food items, the lekos su'udo mikol chag lo, that you wouldn't have a complete meal. If I have, let's say, three food items, and I have to and they join together to form the amount of two meals, then I don't have of each one of those items a complete meal. So that Rav Yosef's thought here is that when we speak about the joining together of different kinds of foods to form two meals, it basically means one meal's worth per item. That's what he thought. Omar le Rava. Rava says no. Afilu lemechza leshlishu revia. Even if the food item that is part of the Eruv would constitute a third of what you need or a quarter of what you need, that's fine. So that you could have, according to this comment, you could have four different kinds of food items that when joined together would equal two meals worth of food. Two meals worth of food that you would eat over two, in the course of two meals. Before we go further, we glance at the side of the Gemara where we have a topic heading. The topic here is Shi'ur Eruv B'yayin, the amount of wine in making an Eruv. How much wine would you need? Gufa, and this is a quote from what we saw just a couple lines above, and to find it, we have a star, a singular star on the side. Gufa Amar Rav. Rav said earlier, Ma'arvin B'shtei Rivios Shel Yayin. Shtei Rivios, or what we called, what we mentioned before, was a half a lug. Oh, mi bo'inun kule hai. Do you need so much for making an eruv out of wine? V'ha tanya. We have the following brisa. Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, yayin kedei lechol boi. And we glance at the Rashi. Yayin kedei lechol boi lishrois boi pas mazon shtei sudos. It was seemed to be common practice that people would dip or soak their bread in wine and eat it like that. So it's the amount of wine that people would soak their bread in the course of two meals. That quantity of wine used for soaking bread over the course of two meals is sufficient for an Eruv. And from the context, it's much less than a half a luke. The source continues, chometz, if you are using vinegar for making your eruv, kedei letabel bo, enough to dip the meat that you would eat over the course of two meals, the dip meat into the vinegar, and zeisim ubetzolim, kedei lechol bohen shtei sudos, the amount of zeisim or olive, betzolim or onions, that you would eat over the course of two meals, that you would eat them, the zeisim and betzolim, together with bread, so it's the amount of those vegetables that you would eat together with the bread over the course of two meals. The question, once again, is how could it be said before by Rav that the amount of wine needed for an Eruv is shtei revios, or a half a lug, when the source here says yayin kedei lechobo, which is a much lesser amount? The Gemara answers, hosam b'chamra mevashla. This brisa that spoke about yayin kedei lechobo was talking about wine. Yayin mevashla would translate as wine that was cooked up. Rashi here says that wine that's cooked up is choshuv. It's something that has significance that you would eat together with the bread. In other words, you don't dip bread just into any old wine. It would have to be chamra mevashla. But standard wine, you would need to have the amount that you would drink over two meals, and that is two revios, or a half a lug. As we continue, we have a crown marking highlighting the Omar Mar expression. This is a quote, and you can see on the side under our Nosei Mivne heading, the Omar Mar are Tzitutim Mehabraisa Be'inyin Shir Eruv B'chemetz and B'tzalim. We're going to be looking into that which we mentioned and making an Eruv from vinegar and later from onions. Omar Mar, chometz kedei letabel boi. We're now going to have two versions of Rav Gidol Amar Rav, and that's why we have an aleph, and then the next line after the squiggle underline, iko diamri, a base. Omar Rav Gidol Amar Rav, kedei letabel bo, mozon shtei seudos shel yerek. The amount of vinegar you would use over the course of two meals, where the entire meal is are vegetables. Iko de Amri, Omer of Gidol Amarav, Yerek Hanechal B'shtei Seudos. It's my impression that we're talking here about dipping vegetables in vinegar. So the amount of vinegar needed, according to the first version of Rav Gidol Amarav, would be the amount of vinegar needed to that would accompany a meal that the entire meal is vegetables. The second version is the amount of vinegar you would have during a meal in which vegetables are also eaten. What do we mean by a meal in which vegetables are also eaten? That means it's a meal that is based on bread, and they also serve vegetables. So the amount of vinegar in that kind of meal is what you would have to have two meals worth of vinegar used in that kind of meal. Omar Mar, Zeisim Upsolim Kidelecho and Mozun Shtei Sudos. So the source before had indicated the making of an Erev using onions. The Gemara asks, Upsolim Yamim Arvin, can you make an Erev out of Betzolim? V'hot Tanya, of the following Tanaic source, which would show us to the contrary. And in this source, you'll notice that we have a dashed underline Betzolim, which is what we want to draw our attention to. So it says in this source, V'hot Tanya, Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Pam Achas Shovas Rabbi Meir Ba'ardiska. It was an occasion that Rabbi Meir celebrated Shabbos in a town called Ardiska. Uvo Odom Echod Lefonov, and someone came to Rabbi Meir. Omar Lo Rabbi, Yirafti Bibitzolim Letiv'in. I made an Eruv, and the Eruv here is an Eruv Tchumen, which enables a person to extend the direction that he walks an additional 2,000 Amos from where he was originally. So this man had come via an Eruv Tchumen made of Betzalim, and was able to come to Rabbi Meir from Tivin. V'hoshivo Rabbi Meir ba'arba Amos shalo. And Rabbi Meir, hearing that the Eruv was made of Betzalim, he says, you came here illegally, unlawfully. Your Eruv was totally ineffective, and therefore you're a person that went beyond his tchum. And the halacha is that a person that goes beyond his tchum limitation must not move out of place more than 4 amos. So what do we see from here? We see that the Eruv made of Betzalim was ineffective. So the Gemara says, Lo kashya ha be'olim ha be'imahos. When you focus that on the onion, the onion has leaves and it also has the bulb. So the Rabbi Meir story, which said onions are ineffective, that's when you're dealing with the olim, the leaves. However, with regard to the bulbs, that's what we mentioned before, that onions could serve as an eruv. Desanya, and to illustrate this point that the leaves are lethal and hence not considered a food item and not good for making an Eruv, we have the following source together with Shmuel's comment that follows. A person who ate an onion got up early and dropped dead. Ain omrin mima meis. We don't ask, well, what did he die from? The Omar Shmuel lo shonu ela ba'olam. The idea here of the danger behind the onion is only with regard to the olim avol bimos less lonba, but with regard to the bulb, we are not concerned. It's safe. We're using a double underline marking here, which is described on the side. Mosai, we've written mosai amrinon shiyesh sakona b'achilas betzolim. Here we're qualifying, when is it that we say that there's danger in eating onions? So far we said the danger is only with regard to the leaves and not with regard to the bulbs. And we continue with qualifications. Ube olin nami lo amoran elo. And it's with regard to the leaves, we don't say that they are bad. And we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Elo doloi itzil zirsa. they haven't grown a zeres in size. A zeres is a certain length. So they didn't grow even a zeres in size. Aval ifsil zirsa, if they grew a zeres in size, less lanbar. The whatever venom that might have been in those leaves, as the plant matures, so the venom disappears or dissipates, loses its lethalness. Omar of Papa, lo amoran elo, de lo ishti shichra. Likewise, we say that the danger in the leaf is only if he didn't drink, following eating it, some beer. Aval ishti shichra, less lanbar. If following his eating of the leaves, he drinks beer, so the beer apparently neutralizes whatever deathly substance was in the onion. Tanu Rabbanan, lo yochal odom botzel mipnei nochash shebo. One should not eat onion because of the venom that is in it. Nochash we often translate as a snake, but here it means the eris, the venom that's in it. Umaisev Rabbi Chanina sheochal chatzi botzel v'chatzi nochash sheboi. An incident happened where Rabbi Chanina ate half a botzel and half the venom that was in that. The chol of enoto lomus, he took ill and was dead. He took deathly ill and was about to die. Ubikshu chaver of rachamim olav, and his colleagues prayed for mercy. The choya b'nei shasho tzricholo, and he continued to live because he was necessary. He, Rabbi Chanina, was serving the community, if you will, and hence he was necessary, and that's why he benefited from their prayers. As we continue in the Gemara, we encounter a topic, and we call this Eruv B'Shechar. It's the making of an Eruv using beer. Omar Abizera, Omar Shmuel, Shechar Ma'arvin Bo, U'poisel Es HaMikveh B'Shloishes Lugin. 2 points, they're not related to one another other than the fact that they both deal with beer. The first halach is you can make an Eruv using beer. The second point is that if beer falls into a mikveh that is not complete, in other words, a mikveh needs to have a minimum of 40 sa'ah of water. If three lugin, it's a quantity, it's a small quantity of liquid, if three lugin of beer fall into an incomplete mikveh, it renders the mikveh unfit. Maskif lo Rav Kahana, pshita. That's obvious that it will passel a mikveh. V'chima bein zeh lemeit seva. What's the difference between beer and colored water? Disnan Rabbi Yosi omer meit seva posel mes a mikveh b'shloishes lugin. Rabbi Yosi teaches that a dyed water renders a mikveh unfit if three lug quantity fall into the mikveh. So once we have this Tanaic source that says meit seva, dyed water passels a mikveh if you have three lug of it, I don't need Shmuel, do I? The Gemara says, yes, I do. Amri, hosa maya de tzivo mikri. And the source that was quoted with Rabbi Yossi, it's called dyed water. Part of the name is water, and maybe we should have mentioned earlier, but it's not too late. The halacha of three lug rendering a mikveh unfit was a halacha that was originally stated in the context of drawn water. Someone who, let's say, draws water and then pours it into the mikveh, that is the classic case of ruining a mikveh. So, had I had just Rabbi Yossi, I would have thought that that is dyed water. Part of it is called dye. Ha'cha shichra ikri. Here, I would have thought that it's called something completely different. Being that it's not called water, maybe it wouldn't ruin the mikveh. It won't serve to complete the mikveh. Mikveh can be completed only if you have rain water that gathered in the pool that forms the mikveh, but it wouldn't necessarily ruin it either. Therefore, I need Shmuel to tell me that beer too is considered a category or a subcategory of water that is capable of passeling the mikveh. Uvakamom Arvin. Notice the double underline, as we mentioned, this is a continuation of the markings that we've been using since Daf Chofches to indicate the quantity. So how much beer is necessary? The Gemara answers, but notice we have a very long answer. At the point in the Gemara where our long marking ends, the Gemara then will reject this. So we have a marking scheme here. Part of the marking scheme highlights certain expressions. So we have here sovar, as we saw earlier in today's shir. Sovar is something that's thought to be, but it's rejected. And if you skim down the Gemara, notice we have a dashed underlined velohi at the end of this long answer. You see that we've dashed on velohi. That's represents a rejection of what is about to be said. So the question that we're focusing on is quantity of beer for making a mikvah. Sovar Rav Acha Breider of Yosef, Kameh of Yosef Lememar. Rav Acha thought to say, his idea was, betrain Rivi Shichra. Train Riva Shichra is 2 lug. A lug is a rova kav. So we see what the word rivi here, 1 lug is a quarter of a kav. So 2 rivi is 2 quarters of a kav, which would mean a half a kav. Kiddisnan. Now, where did this amount come from, this 2 lug amount come from? So we have to build up. It takes a number of lines of Gemara to build this whole story up, but we're going to get to this shiur from information that we see in the case of the Isser Hoitzoth, carrying. There's a prohibition of carrying on Shabbos an item from one domain to another. We're going to see a wine-beer ratio established in the realm of Hoitzoth, and we're going to use that ratio, called the wine-beer ratio, in establishing the shiur of an Eruv. So now let's continue. Kiddisnan. Hamotzi yayin kidei mezigas hakois. For one to be in violation of carrying wine on Shabbos from one domain to the other, it's the amount of wine that when water is added to it, it would form a cup. Fetoni alo kidei mezigas kois yofe. And there's a brisa that explains that kidei mezigas means to make a nice cup of wine. My kos yofe. What do you mean by that? What is that? What's a kos yofe? Answer: kos shel bracha. So far, we haven't really said anything about actual quantities, but the Gemara goes on. The Omer of Nachman, Omer Rabba Bar Avua, kos shel bracha. The cup of wine that one holds when he is making a bracha, birchas hamazon, for example, that amount is tzorach shebo rova revius. There has to be a quarter of a lug. Notice, it's a very small amount, relatively speaking, a quarter of a lug of pure, undiluted wine, kidei sheyim zegenu v'yamoid al revius, so that when water is added to it, you'll have a complete revius. Uched Rava, and this is in accordance with Rava, d'yama Rava, kochamra delodori al-chad, tlas maya, any water that can't contain 3 times the amount in water, any wine that can't contain 3 times the amount of water and still have a good taste to it, lav chamrahu, that's not real wine. So in order to get to a kois shel brocha, which is a revius, a quarter of a revius, a reva lug, is enough. So that's the amount of wine that one would be chayev on Hoitzoas Shabbos. The Kotoni Seifo, and the end of the source dealing with Hoitzoah says, Ushar kol amashkin berevius, v'chol ha-shofchin berevius. We don't have to explain shofchin, which has to do with wastewater, but with regard to all other beverages, including, let's say, shechar, the amount for a chiv Hoitzoah is not a quarter of a lug. It's not a but rather it's a revius. A revius is a full lug. So you see, there's a, as the Gemara says, you see the ratio, midahosam al-chad arba, so 1-4 relationship. In other words, for any one amount of wine, it would be 4 times that amount of beer. So hochanami, so too with regard to eruv, al-chad arba, it would be a 1-4 relationship. And now the main point is that we know by wine that the eruv amount of wine is a half a lug. So 4 times a half a lug is 2 lug. Where did we see that? That's what was answered before when Rav Achot at the beginning of our long answer said the amount of beer would be 2 lug. Why 2 lug? Because the amount of wine for making an eruv was a half a lug. And now here the Gemara rejects that. Velohi. Not so. Hossam, with regard to the carrying on Shabbos, Hossam hu, the botzer mehofi lo choshev, less than the amount we said before, that means a quarter of a lug of pure wine, simply doesn't have any chashivas, doesn't have any significance, and therefore there's no chiyuv hoitzah on such a small amount. Aval hocha, but when it comes to shechor, when it comes to beer, lo, that is not so. The avidi inshi deshosu kosa betzafra vekosa bepanya. People, when it comes to beer, will drink a cup. Now the cup is a revius halug, a quarter of a lug in the morning, and a quarter of lug in the afternoon, that's kosa bepanya, vesamchiolayo, and rely on that. In other words, the sum total amount of beer would be 2 times a quarter of a lug, which would be a half a lug. And not, as we said earlier, 2 lug. So hence you saw what we thought was a long answer, that was Rav Acha's attempt, and the Gemara's rejection. Temorim bekamo. How many dates would be necessary? What's the quantity of dates for making an Eruv? And that's the title we've assigned to this section of Gemara, the Nosei Shiur Eruv Betemorim. Omar Rav Yosef, Temorim bekav. Now, we want to make mention that we learned earlier that you would use a kav of figs, of dried figs, for making an eruv. Here we're talking about a different item. We're talking about dates. So Rav Yosef says, a kav of dates, similar to the kav of figs. Oma Rav Yosef, mino amino lo. From where do I know this? The double star, by the way, on the side of the Gemara, pointing you to Omid Aleph, is pointing you to that point we just made, the mention of the Kav of Grogros mentioned earlier. So Rav Yosef says, well, from where do I know this, that Kav of Temorim is sufficient? Desanya. And note, we have a long answer. So the Gemara says, Desanya, Ochal Grogros, Veshilein Temorim, Tovolov Brocha. This source describes someone who inadvertently and improperly ate, let's say he's a non-Kohen, he ate grogros, he ate figs, truma figs, he ate them b'shogeg. When that happens, so you have to compensate. You can compensate in cash or in something of an equivalent nature, we'll say. So what happened here, he ate a quantity of grogros, and he paid with dates, and this source praises him for that. Hechi dummy, what happened here? Ilemo, and here we've underlined Ilemo, and a couple lines later you see Elolav, and then after that we will see Le'olam. These are stages in trying to figure out what took place. So Ilemo, if you say that what happened here was Ilemo lefi domim, that payment was made in an equivalent value to ochal minei bezuzot, that he ate a zuz, which is a type of currency, a type of amount of money, he ate the zuz worth of grogros, the kamashalim le bezuzot, and he paid using a zuz worth of tamarim, my tovolov brocha, what's the big deal? Why does he deserve such praise that he should be blessed for that? Bezuzo ochal, bezuzo kamashalim. He ate a zuz, and he's being compensated for a zuz. That's letter of the law. Why does the source say, oh, he should be blessed for that? Rather, we're talking about a quantity, a measure. He ate a the ochal mine griva to grow gross. He ate a griva is a certain amount of whatever it is. It's you could say it's 10 pounds of grow gross. The shavyazuza and 10 pounds of grow gross, or let's just use the Gemara's word itself, a griva worth of grow gross equals monetarily a zuz v'komashalim le griva the tamorim the shavi arba, and he was so considerate to pay back the same quantity in tamorim. However, that same quantity of tamorim is worth four times the amount. V'katoni tavolov brocha, and well, he certainly deserves praise for that. He ate one zuz worth, and he paid back four zuz worth. What do we see from this? Alma tamorim adifi. So we see from this that tamorim are more significant than grogros. Therefore, if you can make an eruv using a kav of grogros, as we saw earlier, so certainly a kav of tamorim would be sufficient for making an eruv. Omar le Abaye. The Oilom Abaye rejects this approach and says, "The Oilom Docha Minei Bezuzo, the Komeshale Bezuzo." He ate a zuz worth of grogos, and he paid back a zuz worth of tamorim. And it might very well be that grogos are worth more than tamorim. So, in effect, he had to pay back a larger quantity of tamorim than the quantity of grogos that he ate. The payback was in terms of value. He ate value of grogros one zuz worth. He paid back one zuz worth of tamorim. Umay tovo of brocha. What's the praise for doing that? The answer is the ocha mine midi de lo kofetz oleis vina the kamashalim le midi de kofetz oleis vina. He ate grogros. Dried figs are something that are less in demand. So that if a person, he ate something that's not in great demand, and he paid back, albeit it must have been a larger quantity of tamorim, but that's much more easily sold. So that if a person receives as compensation tamorim, he's very happy. It's something he could easily sell to others afterwards. So for having compensated the kohen whose grogros were eaten, paid back with tamorim, that is praiseworthy. But there's no indication that one could get away with an eruv of tamorim using the same quantity as an eruv made of grogros. We continue with new food items and quantities. Shasisa, Rashi points out, regarding shasisa, it's a substance that's made from roasted grains that is mixed with honey. Rashi says, "Michael shosu mikemach koli." It's made from flour of roasted grains. Shnisyavshe betanur v'noislim dvash l'soicha tavshil, and honey is added to this particular dish. So, how much shasisa is sufficient for an eruv? Omer of acho bar pinchas trei shargushi two. Rashi uses the term tarvodin. Tarvodin in other contexts is a reference to a spoonful, but it was a known size. Kisoni, how much kisoni? Kisoni are kloyos, are roasted grains. How much of that would be necessary for an eruv? Omar Abaye, trey buni de pumpadisa, two. Buni is a measure, two pumpadisa measures of kloyos, of kisoni. And here we have a couple of lines where Abaye shares with us information that he learned from his aim. His aim is his foster mother. Omar Abaye, Omerli aim, hani kisoni, these kloyos, malu liba, are beneficial for heart conditions, umevakli machshavos, and also serve to quiet someone's worries. The Omar Abaye, Omerli aim, she told me, Haiman de Isle Chusha de Liba, someone who has weakness of heart. Lysi, he should bring Bisra de Atmi Yamina de Dichra. He should bring some Bisra's meat from Atmi Yamina, the right side of a male animal. The Lysi Kavuye de Reisa de Nisan, and bring some dung, feces from, cow feces that were laid in the month of Nisan. and you'll see shortly that these cow feces will be used as fuel for roasting the meat. If he doesn't have that, the kavuya de reasa, then lysi sugaini the arvisa, he should bring some arava twigs, arava type of plant. We might be familiar with that from Sukkos. He should bring arava twigs. He should then roast the meat that was mentioned before on these on coals made from the from this material and eat it. And then afterwards he should drink chamra's wine, marka's diluted wine. Om Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, kol shehu lifton kedei leechol boi. Kol she'eino lifton kedei leechol heimenu. When dealing with making an eruv out of food, it depends. Is the food an accompaniment, a type of relish, or is the food something that one eats as a, we'll call it as a main dish? So if it's a lifton, it's the amount that you would eat. Leechol bo means to eat along with bread, let's say, over the course of two meals. And if it's not a lifton, but it's something that you would eat as on its own, not as a relish per se, or as a side dish, but rather eat on its own, it would mean two meals worth of that food. Bosar chai, kedei lechol heimenu. Bosar chai is uncooked meat or unroasted meat. It's two meals worth of raw meat, or unroasted meat. Bosar tzli, roasted meat. So here, two opinions. Rab omar kedei lechol bo, Rav Yosef omar kedei lechol heimenu. According to Rab, he views it as a relish that you would eat bread along with it. So it's the amount of meat you would eat together with bread over the course of two meals. And Rav Yosef says it's the amount of meat that would itself constitute two meals. Again, roasted meat. Omer of Yosef Mino Amino Law, from where do I know that Bosar Tzli, that roasted meat, is not a lifton, but it's a main, it's something that you eat on its own? Answer, he learns from the Persians. The Hani Parsoi Achli Tabaki Below Naamo. They eat tabaki, or pieces of meat, of roasted meat, they eat it without bread. So it shows us that it is a, we'll call it a main dish, a central food item that one would eat on its own as his meal. Obviously, when we say this, it would mean it would be a larger quantity than if it were something that were eaten together with bread. Omar le Abaye. Abaye asks a question, and this question lasts a number of lines. It takes us down a few lines from the top of Daf Lamed Omed Aleph. Omar le Abaye, uparsoi, have ruba di alma. Does the fact that the Persians have this strange behavior, if you will. That's the thrust of the question, is how does Rav Yosef conclude what a general Eruv practice should be from what some small group relative to the world population, from what a small group of people practice? So are the Persians the majority of the world that I should therefore require such a large amount of roasted meat for an Eruv? Now here, the question is based on a totally unrelated topic, but the idea of, we'll call, relative importance will come out in this discussion. This discussion features minimum quantities of fabric that are capable of absorbing tumah. When you're dealing with for poor people, even a small quantity of fabric has significance. When you're dealing with the wealthy, very small quantities don't have significance, so they won't mekabel tumah. So the source says, "Bigdei aniyim laaniyim." When it comes to the clothing of the poor, even if something measures 3 by 3 fingers worth of fabric, very small amount, it's mekabel tumah. "Bigdei ashirim laashirim." When it comes to the wealthy, only if it's a larger amount, it's 3 by 3 handbreadths, 3 by 3 tefachim, only then will the fabric mekabel tumah. Avol, the Gemara continues at the top of Daf Lamed, Avol Bigdei Ashirim Le'aniyim Lo. But when it comes to, let's say, you have a clothing item of a wealthy person, and the owner, someone who's, let's say, in possession of it, happens to be a poor man, then it will Mekabel Tumah even at the small amount, the small rate, so to speak. because we focus on the owner. Now, what's the point of this? So we look in Rashi, who formulates the principle at the top line. When it comes to the poor, we don't have the big day ashirim standard. Since for them the smaller amount is fit, is significant, we follow them. Hochanami, and here we now transpose that concept to the Eruv. Afogav parsoi lav lifton hu. Even though for the Persians roasted meat is not a lifton, kim li don havi lifton, since for us it is, we don't eat just meat, we eat it together with bread, we eat it together with other things. Niski bashir zuta. So for us making an Eruv, we're not Persians, so even a small amount should be sufficient. V'chi tema, and if you try to argue ochel lechumra v'ochel lechumra, that with regard to tumas begodim, we're saying that the 3x3 finger quantity will makabel tuma if it's an oni, that happens to be a stringency, that even a small quantity is subject to tuma. And when it comes to the eruv, we're going to tell you that until you have enough for a complete meal, that is the amount you need. Rashi says, until it's a lifton for everybody, and in the case of the roasted meat, it's not a lifton for everybody. For example, the Persians, it's not a lifton for them. So we insist on having a large amount of roasted meat for the Eruv. So maybe that's the approach. That true, that is not so. For Hotanya, we have a source by Eruv, and you'll see that the source indicates that we go Lekula, we seek leniency. For Hotanya, Rabbi Shimon Ozer Omer, Ma'arvin L'choyu Zoken Kidei Mizono. Let's say the person that needs an Eruv is a sick person or an elderly person. They eat less food than the standard. So we say that two meals worth of food for them. Ulurafton, let's say someone is a ravenous type person who eats a lot more than standard people. How much food is needed for his Eruv? Besuda Bainin and Shokoladam. It's enough that he sets aside two meals worth of food for the common person, which is less than the amount he eats in two meals. So what do we see? We see that when it comes to Eruv making, we go Likula. So this is all part of Abaye's objection to Rav Yosef. Why do you insist on having two full meals worth of roasted meat on its own, when in effect we treat roasted meat as a lifton, and as such a smaller amount would be sufficient for making the Eruv? Two meals worth of roasted meat that you would eat as part of a meal along with other things. So at this point, the Gemara says, Kashya, this remains as a difficulty for Rav Yosef. And so Rav Abaye raised a significant challenge to Rav Yosef. We have a bracketed section of Gemara, and within the brackets, we will be analyzing the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Elazar. We just saw Rav Shimon Elazar say that things are not judged. Things are judged, let's say, according to the person. And at times, we use a standard measure. In order to appreciate the question that is going to be raised here, we glance at the Rabbeinu Hananel. We have a little star in which he says, the Rabbeinu Hananel says, "Umi Yom Reb Shimon ben Elazar Hochi." Shiim hu mishuna may rov b'nei adam ma'amidim oisoi b'midos shel beinonim. Would Rav Shimon ben Elazar have said, if someone is strange, like we saw with the Rav's son, he's a person who eats a lot? So we say no. For him, we use the standard amount for all people. Is that really his approach to establishing quantities? The Gemara is going to go to another topic, totally unrelated, but the principle of establishing quantities will be of a common nature. So the discussion that we're about to embark upon here involves the realm of tumas mace. If there's a corpse in a house, so anything that's under the same roof becomes tumei. Midrabbanan, though, things that are in the doorways leading into the house are not tumei. The doorway is considered a separate entity. However, That's midoraisa, but midorabbanon, anything that's in any of the doorways will become tome. That is a rabbinic law. However, if we can establish the doorway through which the corpse will be taken out of that house, we can then say only that doorway is tame. The other doorways are saved, so to speak, because I've established the doorway out of which the mace, the corpse, will be taken. That's background. Now let's take a look at the source. So question, once again, as the Rabbeinu Hananel pointed out, is Reb Shimon ben Elozer lenient, so to speak, that when you have something of an odd size, an overly large proportion, we will go according to what is of a general nature? The question is asked, if a giant, let us say, like Og, was a famous giant in the Chumash, if he's dead in a house, in order to establish a doorway that will save the other doorways, it would have to be as large as he is, meaning large enough to take out this giant. And if you don't have in this house any gigantic doorways, then every aperture that's the size of a fist, anything that's in those apertures, those openings, will become tome. So what do we see from here? We see that when we establish sizes, we establish according to the individual in question, and we don't offer some type of standard measure. So that would be a challenge to Abaye, who cited Reb Shimon ben Elozer as justification for, in fact, going according to the general size. The Abaye responds, this quote of Reb Shimon ben Elozer doesn't cast any doubt on what we said earlier. Hossam, in the case of a corpse in a house, hefi levin, what else should they do? Hadume nahadme benafke, should they cut him up in pieces and take him out that way? That's not in the cards. Therefore, in the case of a house and tumas mace and establishing the doorway which will be tome and to save the rest, we have no choice. There we have to go according to the person in question. However, when it comes to, let's say, establishing an eruv and some person happens to eat a great amount, there we go according to the standard amount of food that people eat for their two meals. Ibayaloho, pligi rabbon alev shimon lozerolo. Do the rabbis, with regard to the mace, the corpse in the house, disagree with shimon lozer or not? Toshma, well, we try to bring a proof from the following. The Oma rabo bar barchan om rabbi yochanan, oig melech haboshan, pischo bearbo'o. Well, the size of the doorway which will save the other doorways is if it measures 4 tfachim. Even though we're talking about a giant. So that would show that the Rabbonin disagree. The Gemara says, no, that doesn't show the Rabbonin disagree. Hasam de'ika psochim ktanim tuva. In that case, there's a house that has other smaller openings. And one of them, the largest one, is 4 tvachim. Devadai ki komarvich bahu komarvich. That when it comes to taking out the corpse, it's very clear that that is the doorway that will be widened. However, if let us say you didn't have only, you had, let's say they were all 4 tvachim, they would all become tomei, because it's not clear to us through which door the giant would be carried out. And that's because in order to save doorways, you'd have to have a doorway, one doorway large enough to carry him out. That, once again, is when they are all of the same size. However, if you have only one entranceway, 4 tvachim, which is much too small, of course, for taking out the giant, but all the other apertures are even less, so then it's clear that one that's 4 tvachim will be the one that's widened, and hence it's capable of saving the rest from tumo. Omar Rav Chiyo bar Rav Ashi, Omar Rav, Ma'arvin b'boser chai. One can make an eruv using raw meat. Omar Rav Simi bar Chiyo, Ma'arvin b'beitzim chayos. One can make an eruv using raw eggs. V'kamo, how many? Omar Rav Nar b'Yitzchok, Sinai, Omar. Sinai is a nickname for Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef was a person who had very great breadth of Torah knowledge, like the Torah given at Mount Sinai, so he's called Sinai. He says, shtayim, two eggs. Two eggs would be, two raw eggs would constitute the enough for an Eruv. With that, we conclude our Shi'ur for today.